British Sky Broadcasting presents Harriet the Spy, voiced by Charlotte Strevens on behalf of MCS Agency, directed by Bronwyn Hughes. A blue cartoon hippo charges across the dawn sky over the clouds. He loses his balance and knocks some of the clouds over. He skids into the back of a red one. Written on it is the word Nickelodeon. A magnifying glass skims and magnifies over the words Paramount Pictures presents, in association with Nickelodeon Movies, a Rastar production. Harriet the Spy. It lingers over the word spy, magnifying each letter very pointedly before moving on. With Michelle Trachtenberg as Harriet and Vanessa Lee Chester as Janie. Two fat ducks sit in a cage. With Gregory Smith as Sport and Eartha Kitt as Mrs. Plummer. A pair of binoculars swing to face us head on. Narrows and Chinese fruit are laid out. A flashlight floats in midair. J. Smith Cameron and Robert Joy as Mr. and Mrs. Welsh. Exotic fruit looking like pomegranates are displayed. Rosie O'Donnell as Golly. A foot wearing a sneaker rests against some wooden barrels. The hand on the face of a compass swings from west to north. A jumble of knobbly squid are all squashed together in a tub. The slender body belonging to the sneaker wearing a yellow fisherman's jacket is hidden behind some barrels, next to a crate of lemons. A compass and a flashlight hang from around her waist. A tray of fresh fish, their black eyes glistening, lie on ice. The hand belonging to the sneaker writes firmly in a notebook, a tiny pair of binoculars lying on the opposite page. A pretty green compact mirror with a gold butterfly on the front slowly turns in midair. A heap of large crabs are crammed together in a tub, all claws and shells, the Chinese man leaning beside it, asleep. The lid of the compact slowly opens to reveal a mirror. The girl's head emerges from behind a crate of Chinese fruit. She looks through her binoculars. Hong Fat's grocery store is across the street. With a charcoal pencil, she writes the name in her notebook. Her face is small and oval, with a dusting of freckles and a pointed chin. She has a centre parting, and her long, dark blonde hair is pulled back in a plait.
Boy with ringlets. And tattoos.
She writes all this down.
Girl on. A leash? Man, if my parents ever tried putting me in one of those things, I'd trade them in. This kid looks like she can roll over and fetch.
The toddler is wearing reins.
I learn everything I can, and I write down everything I see. Gully says if I want to be a writer, then I'd better start now. Which is why I am a spy.
She underlines the word spy. She looks through her binoculars.
Lady with a purse. Man with a wallet.
Oh, help! The man steals the purse and makes a run for it, narrowly missing a mother and baby and aiming straight for Harriet. She stands up in alarm. The man leaps over her head and lands in a crate of eggs, smashing them to smithereens and upsetting the birds. Harriet looks on mildly. Sitting on the steps outside the front entrance of school, Harriet, with her friends, a black girl and a white boy, draws a tattoo in purple felt-tip pen on the sole of the boy's foot.
Done. Phew.
What is it?
It's an Animiki. You know, the goddess Storm and Thunder.
Cool, huh? Okay, come on, hurry up before it dries.
Yeah.
Okay, ready? Here, give me your foot.
The secret tattoo. My best friends, Sport, Janie, and I thought we should be blood buddies. But this was so much less painful.
They transfer the tattoo.
Just remember the rule.
If anyone sees the secret tattoo, swift and painful death.
They pretend to cut their throats. A 4x4 drives up and a prim-looking girl gets out and greets her friends.
It's starting.
Harriet makes the sign of the cross with her fingers.
Here comes Knight Marian Hawthorne.
It's happening. I can feel it happening.
Good Lord, it's the dreaded Hawthorne effect.
Sport pretends to be sick.
Well.
Good morning, Janie, Simon, and Harriet.
Harriet.
I gotta get to class.
See ya.
Sport and Janie go inside, leaving Harriet sitting on the steps. It's chaotic in the corridors, kids rushing everywhere.
Sixth grade. All the usual suspects are back in action.
One child falls flat on his face.
First of all, there's Rachel Hennessy, Marion's second in command.
The only thing more pathetic than being Marion Hawthorne is wanting to be Marion Hawthorne.
Rachel copies Marion.
Pinky Whitehead, the human fish belly. If Jamie's theory is right, then Pinky's DNA was combined with a pint of vanilla yogurt at birth. Carrie Andrews thinks she's cool because she spent her summer vacation growing boobs.
The boys stare when she bends to pick up a pencil.
Laura Peters looks like someone pinched her face and it stuck that way. The boy with purple socks, a man of mystery. He never talks. If I were known only by my footwear, I'd hang myself. Beth Ellen Hansen always looks like she's about to cry. I wish someone would just kick her and get it over with. And then, of course, there's our teacher, Miss Elson. She's nice and polite. I bet one day she goes on a psycho-killing spree, and all her neighbors will say, she was nice and polite.
Well, from what your last two teachers tell me, it looks like deja vu all over again.
She wears very heavy glasses.
It's time to vote for our sixth grade class president. And for the third year in a row, we're down to our final two nominees, and they are Harriet Welsh and Marion Hawthorne.
Marion looks smug.
And so, as you may know, the duties of the class president include taking attendance, reporting bad behavior, and best of all, editing the sixth grade newspaper.
She holds it out for the class to see.
And now we vote.
Marion Hawthorne again. 3 years in a row.
You know what? I think I'll invent a poison. A really good, clean, untraceable poison. One that fries your brains and makes all your bodily fluids boil at once.
Could you?
Check it out. One day I'd be like, oh, hi, Marion. Oh, no, I'm not finishing the soda. And she'd be like...
Standing on the wall above them, Janie shakes her face and contorts her body.
I'm serious. Any of you guys want to come over? I gotta get home. If my amoebas start incubating, they really stink up the house.
Harriet?
Sorry, spy time.
In her bedroom, Harriet dives headfirst onto the bed and drags out a couple of tins from underneath. She removes a compass, her green butterfly compact, a pair of pink rubber gloves, a magnifying glass, a pen, and puts them all on the bed. She fastens her spy belt round her waist and tucks the mini binoculars in the case attached to it. She stuffs the gloves into her pocket and attaches everything else to the belt, finally adding the compact. Grabbing her notebook and yellow Mac, she's off. She climbs down an escape ladder to the roof and runs through some washing hanging on the line.
Spider route. Harrison Withers' place. Higher altitude. Lower risk. But always a show.
She peers through the skylight.
Yeah, everybody's gonna have some grease today. Oh, great. Now, jelly roll. Yeah. Lady Day. Come what may, whatever you say, we all will have a good time. A little bit for you, Satchmo. You, Bessie. And how about you, Jelly Roll?
Gully says, P people who love work, love life. I like Harrison Withers, because he's a guy that loves both.
Harrison is feeding his many cats. Looking down at them, Harriet smiles.
Curiously, Harrison lives for his cats.
Wow! Birdland!
But his work is for the birds.
A magnificent wooden birdcage.
Charlie Parker. Yard bird.
In any case, his cages are the most beautiful I've ever seen.
Stands in the middle of the next room directly below the skylight. It's a spiral-shaped cage. Harrison repairs the delicate wooden bars. He freezes when the doorbell buzzes. Harriet watches as he picks up one of his cats and, holding it against his chest, tentatively peers from the closed curtains. A dark-suited man wearing a Homburg hat stands menacingly below.
The health department has it in for Harrison, because they say he's got too many cats. Too bad for them. Harrison has a system. See a hat, don't be home. No hat, no problem.
Carrying a clipboard and briefcase, the man returns to his van.
Another score for the cat van.
Running along the street, Harriet jumps over a fallen garbage can and charges through the middle of two passers-by. Janie and Sport sit waiting for her outside her house.
Hey. Want some necklace?
Janie offers them a sweet.
How about you, Mac?
Ew, you got it all spitty.
It's better that way.
Hey, Harriet, what are you writing?
Notes.
Can we read them?
Can you read this?
Okay, I just wanted to know why you're always writing like a maniac.
I want to remember everything. I want to know everything.
But you must realize, Harriet, knowing everything won't do you a bit of good unless you use it to put beauty in this world. True or false?
True.
Of course it is. Harriet, your mother called. She's going to be late. Come on, Sport. Janie. I'll have you home before dinner.
Golly always takes us places. She sees things other people barely notice. She's my nanny and, well, she's Golly.
Okay, survey of the day. Today's question is, what wouldn't you eat for $1 million?
Bratwurst.
Sport. Camel burgers, dried roadkill, and my dad's meatloaf. Janie?
Strolling along, Janie looks up at the blue sky peeping through the trees.
It's the last day of summer.
Sad, but true.
Au revoir, Monsieur Soleil.
Farewell, ciao.
So long, bye-bye.
Sayonara.
We're here.
They stop outside some rusty iron gates.
Oh. Is this a garden?
What a place.
What is this?
Golly, who's that?
That's Mrs. W., a very good friend of mine.
It's kind of unusual.
You know, there are as many ways to live as there are people in this world, and each one deserves a closer look.
Welcome! Come on in.
Hi.
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 Hi. Look around. Have fun.
Guitars and tennis rackets.
Whoa. Awesome.
Rotate. There's a hubcap sculpture in the trees and coloured ones which can be played like a xylophone or the drums. Janie discovers a mosaic water fountain full of detergent for blowing bubbles using a potato masher and a tennis racket. The three of them excitedly blow bubbles and lark about. Harriet runs along the paving stones in and out of the trees and shrubs. She looks through a giant kaleidoscope. They discover a chest full of different coloured ties and gather them up in their arms, throwing them into the air. Golly, large and imposing in her vibrant red coat and square-set beret, joins in. They hang the ties from the branches of the trees.
Oh, Golly! Yeah!
Golly then removes a bottle of pop from a hanging mobile and shakes it up violently.
Hey, you guys. What do you say I propose a toast? Come on.
She sprays them with pop.
Okay, quick, before it starts fizzing. Shake it up, take a sip, and wish for what you want most in the world.
Okay. I want to replicate my own DNA and win the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah. Janie drinks.
Oh, my God.
Very good, Janie. Okay. Shake it up, Sport, shake it up.
I want to play more baseball games than Cal Ripken Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Sport drinks.
And get filthy rich doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Shake it, Harriet.
I want to see the whole world, and I want to write down everything.
Harriet shakes the longest and then drinks.
Harriet, slow down.
That's very impressive.
Harriet? Uncle!
Sharing the bottle around, they all take a swig again. Harriet spurts her mouthful out like a fountain. Slight Mrs. W, who's Japanese, works on a spiral collage on the ground. Large rocks and oval pebbles with bright yellow flowers in between. Harriet adds the finishing touches before bowing deeply as she leaves with the others. Golly closes the gates behind them all. Dressed for bed, Harriet bounces exuberantly up and down on the mattress.
Everybody, hello, Sussex Gray!
Feet off the bed, please.
Okay.
Harriet bounces on her bottom.
Feet off.
Oh, the hiney bounce. Good choice. Very cute, Harriet, very cute. The neighbors will ask me, what happened to Harriet Welsh? I don't know, I'll answer. Such a shame, she disappeared without a trace. And she was so adorable.
How long have you been with me, Gully?
Since you were born. 11 years and 12,000 tomato sandwiches ago.
And you'll never leave me, right?
Well, I won't leave you, Harriet, but you know, one day you're going to be big enough. And well, big enough to take care of yourself. And when that day comes, you won't need me, and I'll be gone. But you know what? That day is not today. And now, it's time for bed.
Are Mom and Dad tucking me in?
No. They're at a very fancy party, and I bet they're thinking about you right now. Really? Listen, I think I can hear him. Harriet, listen to everything Golly says to you. We're drinking champagne and eating caviar. Harriet. Come on. Let's go to bed.
Who's going to bed?
You are, tough guy.
Come on. Child abuse.
Oh, you think that's child abuse? You haven't even. How about that? What about that? What about one of these?
In the kitchen next morning, Harriet is cutting up a tomato.
Stand still, you little booger.
Yeah.
She scrapes out the pips.
I'm telling you, just give me the big knife, this will all be over.
Harriet, dear, you have taken a tomato sandwich to school with you.
With mayonnaise.
With mayonnaise, every day for the past 5 years. Don't you want a little variety?
Nope.
Not even cream cheese with olive? Yum, yum, yum. Or how about pastrami? Roast beef? How about the fancy cucumber kind with the crust cut off?
Mom, I can't help it if I know what I like. And I know that I like tomato.
Wearing her yellow Mac and spy gear, Harriet marches purposefully across the street towards Hong Fat's.
After school spy route. Hong Fat's Food Emporium.
Running round to the back, Harriet climbs up onto the back of a delivery trike and spies through a dirty barred window into the murky basement below. A middle-aged man in overalls and cap is quietly working. The basement door is knocked. The man opens it. He hands out some potatoes. Then some fruit. Harriet's eyes open even wider. After a moment's thought, a bunch of carrots.
Holy cats, a veggie thief!
This must be investigated thoroughly.
Now balancing carefully on the saddle, Harriet looks through an adjacent window and sees the Hong Fat family going about their business.
Frankie, you took the truck last week. Wasn't that enough? Stop walking around.
Frankie,
go do some
homework.
Go do some
reading
and watch TV. Do something.
Grandpa, all I need is the truck. I know you know what I mean. Come on, Ma, let me have the truck. I got a date.
What do you take me for?
The Hong Fats have a son. It's Frankie. He's cool, American style. His parents are Chinese style cool. Frankie likes going out. But they'd rather he work in the store selling milk and bread and lizards. Ugh.
Harriet's tattooed foot is poking out of the bathwater. Surfacing from underneath, she hears a row going on downstairs and eavesdrops.
I mean, do I try to interfere with their bookkeeping? My business is comedy. That's
would I do? I'm funny. I'm the funny guy.
Yes, you are.
They're the money guys.
Okay, Slippery. Bath time's over. Come out with your hands up.
But I just got in.
Oh, sure. I believe that one. Let's see your fingers, prune girl.
Top the hand, because the face ain't gonna listen.
He asked me to come up with something new, something fresh. You read it. It was fun. It was the funniest script we've had all year.
Yes, it was. So what was their problem?
Hey, I want to hear.
Oh, yeah? I want to sing opera, but I can't, so I don't. That downstairs is... Well, your dad has a high-pressure job.
What's a high-pressure job?
It's when you don't get to do what you want, and when you do, you don't have time to do it.
Do spies have high-pressure jobs?
Only when they're caught.
I'm never caught.
You're right. You never are. Oh, look, ugly water bug!
Harriet jumps.
Hey!
Gotcha.
Here she is.
Her hair in a towel, Harriet comes down the stairs.
Night.
Good night.
Good night. You want me to tuck you in?
Well, we can do it.
She hugs her mom and dad goodnight.
The time has come, the walrus said.
To talk of many things.
Of shoes and ships and sealing wax.
Of cabbages and kings.
And why the sea is boiling hot.
And whether the pigs have wings.
You have any wings?
Yeah.
Let me see.
On the school steps, Janie, Sport and Harriet fall about reading the sixth grade newspaper.
Crap. No, this stuff is beyond crap. It's what crap wants to be when it grows up.
Listen to this. Equestrian Corner by Marian Hawthorne. Horse riding, for those who can afford it, is a very wonderful sport. Every weekend, my father takes me riding, and we laugh together as we ride.
Did she mention her mom pays for Doric lessons?
Man, once that disintegration ray is complete,
she's a molecular toaster. Oh, yeah.
Mom and Dad's night out. Me and Gully's night in.
Hello.
Harriet is writing away on the kitchen table.
What's that smell?
Delicious German bratwurst.
You hate bratwurst.
I love bratwurst.
Since when? I'll get it!
No, I will get it.
I'll get it!
They race to get to the door first. The man from Hong Fat's basement stands there holding a pineapple.
I'll get it!
Good evening, Catherine.
The veggie thief. Catherine?
Harriet M. Welsh, Mr. George Waldenstein.
How do you do?
Yeah.
He proffers his hand.
I've seen him around.
But he stole that pineapple.
The three of them sit around the dinner table eating soup. Harriet picks up on the undercurrents going on between Golly and George. George puts down his soup spoon and sighs. His big round face lighting up when he makes eye contact with Golly and gently rests his fingers next to hers on the table. Harriet deliberately slurps, looking from one to the other.
Good soup.
Harriet, where are your manners?
I don't know. Maybe somebody stole them.
George freezes with his spoon in his mouth. Slowly putting it down and wiping his mouth with the napkin tucked around his neck, he and Harriet engage in a staring competition. Harriet narrows her eyes, whilst George steadfastly doesn't move his at all. He turns his bald head slightly to one side. Harriet copies him, a small smile twitching at the corner of her mouth. George suddenly looks at his nose going cross-eyed, his jug ears very prominent.
Hey, you cheated!
Oh, you win. My congratulations.
Yeah, well, I know some stuff. So, you're a delivery boy?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no offense, but, you're like, what, 45?
Ish.
Shouldn't you be a delivery man by now?
Harriet!
Well, Harriet, I'll tell you, not long ago I had another life. I had a big business, I had a lot of money, and you know what? I was the most miserable man alive. So one day I told my wife that...
Wife?
I told my wife that I wanted to start all over again. If she wanted to, she could start all over with me.
So what happened?
Oh, she left me. Oh, that's all right, that was her choice. My choice was to become a delivery boy. Well, man, I don't have the business, of course, and I don't have the money. But you know what? My life is sweet again.
He reaches over to lightly touch Golly. The frying pan is smoking.
The worst. Oh, no, my worst. No.
Now it's on fire.
Oh, Lord. No, no, don't be sad, Catherine. This is a blessing in disguise.
That's a pretty good disguise.
Don't you see? The three of us have to go out for dinner.
No.
Yeah.
Yes, dinner and a movie.
Movie. Oh, come on, Dolly.
The idea seems popular enough.
Yes, but the Welshes
will be out.
It's a million o'clock. Oh, please.
What the heck?
They each grab her leg. One on the front, one pedaling, and one on the back, they set off on the tricycle. At the Femme Fatale Festival, Greta Garbo stars in the movie Mata Hari. They sit in a row down the front. Harriet wants to sit in between them, so they all get up and change places. Whilst Harriet watches the screen enthralled, George and Golly feed each other popcorn from behind Harriet's back. She notices, so they stop. Then they throw popcorn at each other. Harriet becomes more involved with the smouldering love story. Outside the theatre, George and Harriet have an imaginary fencing match. They thrust and parry until Harriet fatally wounds George in the stomach.
Don't speak.
Victorious, Harriet and Golly step over him.
I'm not dead.
Harriet is asleep in the front basket on the ride home.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Hey, how come all the lights are on?
Where is my child?
Uh-oh.
Harriet? Harriet, what are you doing in that contraption? Come in here at once. Miss Golly, what are you doing with my child at this hour without my consent? Who is that?
My name is...
Shut up!
I'm sorry, it's just we only went to dinner and then a movie.
Harriet is not your daughter, Miss Golly. She is mine. And you have no idea, none, what it is like to come home and find that your child is missing.
We had no idea that you'd be home this soon.
I don't care. I don't care what you did or where you went or why. All I know is this can never happen again. Miss Golly, you are fired.
What? No!
Just a moment. This is my fault. Please.
It seems awfully sudden.
Actually, maybe it's not. I think you're right, Mrs. Welsh. It is time for me to go.
What?
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 On the landing upstairs, Harriet is listening.
None of this is causing stuff.
No, absolutely not.
Absolutely, no. I mean, I think we were talking about our feelings out there. You know, we're afraid, and, mm-hmm. and now what we should be focusing on, right, is Harriet.
Look, I'm sorry. I lost my head out there. I was just... But you can't go. I mean, we need you. Harriet would never stand for it. Please, won't you reconsider?
You know, it's not about what happened outside tonight. It really isn't.
But, Colleen...
No, I think it's time. I really do. Harriet can take care of herself now, so she should.
But Harriet's just
a little girl.
You know, it's the right thing. It's the right thing for all of us. For me, for you, and for Harriet.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I am.
Golly looks directly at Harriet, catching her out at the top of the stairs. Her mom looks up too.
The time has come, the walrus said.
To talk of many things.
Of shoes and ships and sealing wax.
Of cabbages and kings.
And why the sea is boiling hot.
And whether pigs have wings.
She clings to Golly. Outside next morning, Golly sits very upright on her suitcases in the rain, her brolly matching her red coat and hat. Harriet opens the front door, and with her own brolly and bits and pieces, large carrier bag and coral lampshade, comes to join her.
Where are you gonna go?
Well, I don't really know. I'm thinking I may travel.
Are you gonna go be some other kid's nanny now?
And love them more than you? Never. Remember, in my life, in this world, there will always only be one Harriet. They'll get back to work. You've lost nearly an entire day on your notebook.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter? Did I hear you say it doesn't matter? Because I thought I heard you say it doesn't matter, but Harriet wouldn't say that, would she? Now, come on. Just because you're on your own doesn't mean the world stops turning, or that there are no more fascinating people to observe and fill your notebooks with. That's your job, Harriet. That's your job for life. And when you're all grown up and you sell your first novel, I'll be first in line at that bookstore getting my autographed copy.
A tear rolls down Harriet's cheek.
I'm not gonna cry. I'm not gonna cry. I'm not gonna cry.
Nah, it's okay to cry, but whatever you do, don't laugh. No, Harriet, I will not tolerate laughter as I leave. No. Hey. Come here.
Golly lightly touches her chin with her finger.
You remember, a good spy can get in there and fight.
Harriet stands there as a yellow cab draws up and Golly gets into the back. The driver puts her luggage in the boot.
Goodbye, Harriet the spy.
Holding on to the open window, Harriet walks and then runs alongside the taxi until it picks up speed and drives off. Looking straight ahead of her, tears roll down Golly's face. An education film is being shown to the class.
I was kind of worried, you know. I kind of thought, well, is there something wrong with me or something? And
growing up from girl to woman, there's so much to get used to. This is the time when a whole new set of feelings unfold. Feelings about yourself and your maturing body.
Harriet is miles away.
Everything's the same as when Golly was here. It looks the same. It smells the same. But there's this tiny hole inside me that wasn't there before.
She writes in her notebook.
It's like... like a splinter in your finger. Only this one's right above my stomach.
Old notebooks of Harriet's, some with writing, some with pictures, litter the bedroom floor. Her mom puts her head around the door.
Harriet? Are you okay?
Uh-huh.
Harriet, sitting cross-legged on the floor, flicks through one. Her mom smiles and closes the door. On the roof, Harriet spies through Harrison's skylight.
Something's different.
Harrison wanders forlornly around his empty kitchen, slowly collecting up the saucers.
No cats? How can Harrison Withers not have a billion cats around?
He puts a small pile of them on the table. The health man unsteadily carries a wriggling sack to his collection van.
They finally nailed him.
With a lost expression on his face, Harrison sits at his birdcage.
I will always remember that face. That's the face you make when you really lose something.
Parked outside Hong Fat's is a smoking and dented delivery truck.
Uh-oh. Frankie took the truck.
Spying through the basement window, Harriet sees Frankie with his arm in a sling being crowded by his family. A kitchen chair is pulled out for him and he is sat down.
You wanted to speak English, huh? Well, you ain't Jeff, huh? I tell you, don't take the truck. You smash the truck. Well, you tell me now, Mr. Wise Guy. Was your date worth it?
We have people here shopping.
Hey! Grandfather gets off the acupuncture couch.
Hey, all right, Grandpa, that's cool, right? Believe me, it wasn't a big deal, eh? I knew you'd understand, right?
And hits him with a rolled-up newspaper.
So
Sometimes I think families everywhere are exactly the same.
Everybody get back to work. Mom, Dad, please. Grandpa. Just calm down.
Harriet continues to spy. Inside the store, Sport is buying some groceries. Eggs, milk, bread, cheese. He takes them to the till.
$6.75.
He puts some notes from his pocket on the counter and realises he hasn't got enough. Turning his back, he counts out all the loose change he can find.
You got it or not?
Harriet observes from the window. Sport is just about to put the cheese back when Harriet comes in.
Hey, Sport. How you doing?
Hi.
I said I dropped this outside.
Oh.
She puts a dollar bill on the counter.
Thanks.
He puts the cheese back down. Not looking at Harriet, he hurriedly picks up the groceries and walks straight out.
I gotta go.
In class, Miss Elson writes pageant ideas on the blackboard. Everyone covers their ears.
Now it's time for our annual sixth grade holiday pageant. So, pageant ideas. Who would like to make a suggestion? Simon?
Pirates.
Okay. Good dramatic potential, if not exactly seasonal. Anyone else?
How about the Manhattan Project? I can be J. Robert Oppenheimer, and with the right chemicals, I know I can do a mushroom cloud.
That's impressive, Janie. But I believe there's a taste issue involved.
Ballet! Oh, Pilgrims! Musical! Swan Lake!
Yoga!
Yoga!
Break back
the
world!
Jazz!
I think the most excellent idea for a pageant would be a giant holiday feast. Yeah. Something healthy, low in fat, and very delicious, of course. There could be parts for everybody. Grains, vegetables, and best of all, a shiny silver centerpiece.
Very good idea, Marion.
You could play the barf bag.
She made me an onion.
Tell me about it. You, my dear, are a great big squash. I'd like to squash her. I've got something better. Come here.
Janie's bedroom is a chemistry lab. She holds up a glass bottle of murky-looking liquid.
Smell this. Ah, what is that? You like it? Wait, I mean you hate it. It's like something crawled up my nose and then died. Excellent. It's a sulfur-based alkaloid. I want it to chemically fuse with combustibles. And in English, that would mean stink bomb. Stink bomb. We tape it to the school air ducts, attach it to a timer, and 5 minutes before the school play starts, empty auditorium.
Hey. What are you girls doing?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Are you getting ready for your big stage debut?
Actually, Mrs. Gibbs, Janie and I were just talking about the school play, right, Janie?
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it.
Good. That's good. Janie, what is this supposed to be?
No, Mom, don't touch it.
She is covered with green liquid.
Oh, what? Janie?
It's an experiment with mold.
That's where my Veronica's Closet bra went to, huh? You know, I'm sick to death of this mad scientist baloney. Look at this! Girl, we gotta talk. I don't know what I'm gonna do with you, but we're gonna talk.
Some of Janie's experiments really creep me out. Girl, we gotta talk. I wonder if she'll grow up to be a billion IQ genius or a total nutcase.
Harriet sneaks quietly out of the window. Arms crossed, looking up at the front of a large three-story house, Harriet looks about her and sees some junk furniture. She smiles to herself. She removes the drawers from a large bureau to make herself a ladder. She tries to climb it but can't reach the first drawer. Seeing a padded kitchen chair, she stands on that first. She looks around and puts an old school trunk on top of the bureau. a metal tea chest follows, then a trash can and an orange padded footstool. Holding onto a lamp stand for support, she manages to climb as high as the first floor, where she precariously balances, spying through the open sash window. Sport is making his father laugh. Pink rubber gloves dangle from the back of his baseball cap as he stomps around, flapping his arms, impersonating a chicken. Sport's dad falls off his chair. The leg on the bureau begins to buckle.
Chicken man!
His dad lifts him up over his shoulder and twirls him around. Harriet begins to wobble dangerously. The leg finally snaps. The ladder of furniture collapses and Harriet is left dangling from the windowsill, scrabbling to get a foothold.
Sport!
Hey, Harriet.
Hey. All right, come on.
Grabbing an arm and her thigh, he pulls her head first through the window onto the floor. A little later, Harriet holds up a stainless steel dish as a mirror for Sport to apply some mousse to his bobbed, straight hair.
How does it look?
Give me the mousse.
No.
Don't worry, it's just one of Dad's nightmares. I mean, daymares. He says it happens to all great writers before they get their big break.
Real writer.
No.
My dad calls guys like your dad a starving artist.
Who's starving? I cook, I clean, I do the dishes, and the books.
What do you mean, do the books?
Sport opens the bureau.
These are the books. Every week I get a check. I write the amount down in here, I pay the bills, and then whatever's left is food money.
I hate money.
You'd like it a lot more if you didn't have any. I gotta get to work.
Wearing a pastel pinny and with a feather duster, Sport works his way around the impoverished-looking room, plumping up the cushions as he goes. Harriet takes a Polaroid.
Hey, Sport!
No!
Yeah, come on! Strike a pose!
He curtsies. A large pink van with precious Pomeranians written on the side stops in the driveway of an impressive turreted red brick house.
Spyroot. Brand new stuff. Home of Axe K. Plumber. Big private house. Big time security. Until today.
Hiding behind the gatepost, Harriet uses her green butterfly compact to spy. She watches the owner of the van wearing overalls pull on thick gauntlets and then produce a protective visor to cover his head and face. Harriet casually saunters from one gatepost to the other, having taken from her pocket two pieces of string which dangle from her middle finger and have a hard plastic ball on each end. She knocks them repeatedly together, playing with them.
A spy must use ingenious tricks. Must blend into her surroundings.
Hiya, Freckles.
Must live with being called Freckles.
The man goes to the back of the van and removes a Pomeranian. Holding it out in front of him, he delivers it into the waiting hands of a frilly-hatted maid who appears at the front door. Harriet looks through her binoculars. The uniformed maid holds up the wriggling, fluffy little body dressed in a red satin bow and inspects it, turning it round and dusting down its tail. Harriet makes a run for it. At the last second before the maid has closed the front door, Harriet jams it in the hinge with her pencil.
Score.
Harriet watches the maid's retreating back through the front door, and when the coast is clear, she goes inside. The hallway is all Victoriana, patterned floor tiles, red fringed lampshades, highly polished wooden stairs and potted palms in Chinese pots, one on each side. Harriet creeps along tentatively and freezes when she sees the silhouette of the maid through the glass door at the end of the hall. The Pomeranian emerges from the dog flap and, interested in Harriet, comes over to inspect her. Desperately, Harriet hides in what appears to be a wall cupboard.
Avery! Get away from that dumbwaiter! Shut up!
The maid is inches away from her.
Stupid fuzzball. I ought to shave you down and teach you to hunt.
She carries the dog up the stairs. Harriet releases her breath. Grabbing hold of a piece of rope inside the cupboard, she is alarmed when it moves. Taking out her flashlight, she shines it on the rope and follows its path up to a pulley above her head. And further still, she is sitting inside a tall, thin, very deep lift shaft. She takes out the pink rubber gloves from her velcroed pocket and, putting them on, begins to pull on the rope. The platform she is sitting on slowly rises up the shaft, mirroring the maid's progress walking up the stairs. Harriet stops at the top. A pinky red light shines through the dumbwaiter's wooden doors. In the boudoir, Mrs. Plummer is in bed, talking on the telephone.
Something delicious. I have the secret of life. Yes, darling. You simply crawl into your bed and you never ever leave it again. Never. Ah, sweet Liberace. Wow.
The platform slips.
What was that?
I've no idea.
Then why don't you go over there and get an idea?
The maid approaches Harriet.
And if it's that rat, kill it!
Oh, Mrs. Plummer, I'm sure it's absolutely nothing.
All three of them scream. Harriet is unceremoniously thrown out. Her notebook following.
A good spy never gets caught. A good spy never gets caught. A good spy never gets caught. I am the suckiest spy on earth.
On the school steps.
Check this out. This year's winter pageant promises to be truly inspiring. At Mrs. Ellison's sixth grade class, present a holiday feast starring a turkey, vegetables, and a grand finale of delicious dancing gravy. Oh my God.
Sport reads from the sixth grade newspaper.
I'd like to see her split a turkey soup with butt breath Pinky Whitehead.
Marion rushes past them.
Come on, you guys. Harriet, you want to go play in the park? Or do you have to do that top secret spy deal again?
No, I could play.
You can?
Gathered in the park.
I still say we play by the Volvo.
No, guys. I can be the dealer. You guys can be the couples looking for a sassy yet affordable family vehicle.
Get real. Yeah, right.
Yes. Okay, I've got it. Hide and seek.
No.
Hide and seek. That's retarded.
Red Rover.
No.
Right, that's a kid's game.
I don't think so.
Kick the can.
What about spin the bottle?
I got it.
Bumper tag.
See, well, that's a good idea.
Beeny, meeny, miny, moe. Catch a tiger by the toe. If he hollers, let him go. My mom said to pick the very best one, and you are it.
In the tightly formed circle, Sport touches his own nose.
Hey, you foolish mortals!
His classmates run away in all directions. Sport bumps Carrie, who comes up behind Pinky, and bumps him. He goes for the boy with the purple socks, who aggressively shakes his body He-Man style. He makes a beeline for the girls. Meanwhile, Sport, imitating an aeroplane, begins to chase Harriet, clutching her books in and out of the trees. He finally catches up with her and bumps her, causing her books to fly high into the air. They scatter everywhere, including her notebook. Harriet is so wrapped up in the game, she doesn't notice. In revenge, she knocks Sport to the ground and play fights with him. Janie runs up and joins in. There are figures running everywhere. Marion stops when she finds Harriet's notebook under a tree, heavily marked private, and picks it up. Sport, Janie and Harriet continue to roll about on the grass, tickling each other and horsing around. They finally sink down on the grass and lie on their backs.
You winded?
Nope.
Me too.
Upsy-daisy.
Time to move.
On her hands and knees, Harriet retrieves her scattered books from off the grass. Sport and Janie dust each other down.
Where's my notebook?
What?
My notebook!
In a panic, Harriet runs off. Marion sits on a bench, surrounded by all the others.
Wait, no!
Carrie Andrews thinks she's so cool because she spent her summer vacation growing food.
Carrie looks uncomfortable.
Okay, hold on. Okay. The socks is a man with mystery.
Hold on, you guys, listen.
The only thing more pathetic than being Marion Hawthorne is wanting to be Marion Hawthorne.
Jealous. You give that back now!
Looks like there's something in here for everyone.
You heard her, Marion. Give it back before I pound you into the cement.
Ooh, I'm so scared. Hey, maybe there is something in here for you.
Harriet shakes her head as Marion taunts Janie with the page.
Janie, come here.
Janie takes the book.
Janie really creeps me out. I wonder if she'll grow up to be a total nutcase?
A nutcase!
Hey, her best friend. That's her best friend. Beth? I wish someone would kick Beth Ellen.
Beth Ellen lowers her head.
Laura. Laura Peters, her face looks totally pinched.
Laura puts her hands on her cheeks.
If I were the boy with the purple socks, I'd hang myself.
He tries to cover them up with his trousers.
Cut it out, Marion.
Oh, maybe there is something in here for Sport.
No.
Sport?
Shut up.
Fine, then. I'll read it right out loud so everybody can hear.
No!
Sport is so poor, he can't even afford food. Why can't his father just get a real job? Oh, and get this as well. One day, I had to pretend he dropped a dollar just so he can afford some milk and bread. Ooh, harsh.
Marion looks spitefully at Harriet, who looks down.
Sport, I gotta go. It's spaghetti night. I gotta make spaghetti. I can't stay here anymore.
Harriet, sit over there till we decide what to do with you next.
Wait, what's this?
I learn everything I can, and I write down everything I see. Golly says if I want to be a writer, then I'd better start now, which is why I'm a spy.
Harriet runs off.
My position is bad. My position is terrible. My position cannot be worse. Golly would know what to do.
She lies on her bed.
Harriet? Are you all right?
Fine.
Do you want anything?
No.
You sure?
Her mom speaks from behind the door. Harriet pulls out a blank notebook from under her pillow and holds it against her chest.
Oh, golly.
Harriet?
Said I'm fine. Really?
Her mom removes her hand from the doorknob and goes away. In class the next day, everyone is working on their various projects when Harriet walks in. She sits down at her desk next to Sport, who has his back to her. Janie sits on the other side of her.
Hey, Sport. Janie?
You hear something?
No.
Janie addresses Sport over Harriet's head. Harriet opens up the new notebook and begins to mark the blank pages in the top right-hand corner. She becomes aware of a note being passed across a desk in front of her to Janie. Janie picks it up. She and Carrie read it together. Screwing the note up into a ball, she throws it over to him. Sport reads it. Harriet tries to ignore what's going on and returns to marking the pages in her notebook. The note is accidentally knocked off his desk. Harriet sees it fall to the floor. She carefully covers it with her foot and drags it under her desk, where she picks it up and reads it. It says Harriet M. Welsh smells. Alone in the girls' lavatories, looking at her reflection in the wall-length mirror, Harriet sniffs the armpits of her stripy t-shirt. Going over to the communal basin, Harriet steps on the foot pump and activates the water. Lathering up her hands with soap from the dispenser, she washes her armpits under her t-shirt. Pulling off her sneaker and sock, she sniffs her bare foot, then puts it in the basin and washes it too. Finally, she scrubs the back of her neck.
I will always have a notebook. Only Gully understands this. I will write down everything, and I'll know everything. And I'll take everything I know and write my memoirs and be a huge big celebrity and go on all the talk shows and tell them Marion Hawthorne smells. And won't that rock?
Gathering her books, Harriet climbs up the steps and through the line of her waiting classmates, who open up to allow her to pass, to where Marion stands at the head.
Something died.
Harriet faces her.
Where's your notebook, Harriet?
I don't know, Marion. Have you looked up your butt? Y'all better stop being mean to me, or else I'm gonna...
Or else what?
Yeah, what are you gonna do about it?
I'm gonna get you real bad. That's where you're wrong, Harriet the spy. We're gonna get you so bad. And you know why? Because we have a plan.
Yeah!
In spy mode, Harriet ducks from car to car following the progress of her classmates, who are walking along the pavement carrying a large wooden crate between them. As they're carrying it from the inside, they look like a centipede, all torso and legs. And because they can't see properly, they weave about the pavement, bumping into the railings. Harriet comes out from behind a car and dejectedly leans against the bonnet, setting off the alarm. Up in a tree, Harriet continues to spy on them. They lift up one side of the crate, which has a door cut out of it. Everyone is busy sawing and hammering.
Harder, harder.
Sport secures the front piece in place with a broom handle. Carrie tapes up the sides. Marion swans around doing nothing. Beth Ellen is painting a sign.
A club for catching spies?
I'm doomed.
Next day, sitting alone cross-legged on a bench in the park, her back to the flower bed, Harriet writes.
If Gully said choose between being a spy and having friends...
Silently, her classmates skate around the flower bed.
I'd pick spy.
Trapping her on the park bench.
Maybe you're not allowed to have both.
They bang on hubcaps attached to their bodies, pull faces aggressively and skate inches away from her. She manages to break through them and run off. They give chase.
Get her!
In spy mode, she walks past Hong Fat's delivery truck. They appear on the roof and chase her away. The same thing happens as she walks along a residential street, looking up at them as they attack from a balcony above her.
Spy catchers are everywhere. My route is ruined. No one can stand in my way.
She bumps into a policeman on Harrison's roof.
Forget that my heart sank when I saw you standing there with that policeman.
This is your mother talking.
But when I ask you for some kind of explanation, it's like...
Not that big a deal.
Oh, no, wrong. Being brought home by the cops is a very big deal, Harriet.
Cop! One guy, that's it!
No, that's not it. We've spoken with Miss Elson.
You remember school?
And she tells us that you've done zero schoolwork in days. All you do is play with your notebook.
It's not play, it's work.
School is your work, Harriet?
Yeah, well, she can shut up, because I'm learning tons.
Oh, yes? Well, not about history. Huh? Not about geography. Not even English. I swear, if it's not in your notebook, it's as if you don't want to know about it.
So what?
Her father draws up a chair.
Yes. This obsession you've developed is not entirely healthy. Now, we've made a decision.
We want you to stop with the notebook.
Stunned, Harriet looks at them.
Stop writing?
Not forever, just as an experiment.
Harriet, the world is filled with so many things a person like yourself could enjoy.
Well, that's right. And you're going to find that sometimes just experiencing them can be enough.
That's how I experience things. With my notebook.
Harriet!
No! Let's see you experience things without your unhealthy obsessions, huh? Every day you come home, you pour yourself a big martini. How come you don't give that up? And how many days go by without you going to a stupid party or buying some other piece of crappy jewelry? Like two?
Don't take that tone with us, young lady. We're your parents. We make the rules in this house. Now, hand over the notebook.
I threw it away.
You're sitting on it.
I'm not moving.
If you make me move you, I will move you.
Sitting on the settee, arms stubbornly crossed, Harriet narrows her eyes at her father and turns her head away. He slowly pulls out the notebook she is sitting on.
I'll just get another one.
Oh?
Miss Elson will be checking. Harriet, don't you want to talk about this?
No.
Harriet continues stomping up the stairs. In class the next day, she goes to sit at her desk.
Harriet, did we forget? Notebook check.
Standing in front of her, Miss Elson flicks through all the pages in Harriet's books and gives them a shake to make sure. Harriet sits down, but Miss Elson returns and signals that she should rise again. Harriet stands, and with both arms outstretched, is subjected to a body search. Miss Elson turns her around and checks the back. Finally, Harriet sits down, narrowing her eyes and looking daggers at everyone. Later on during a painting class, Pinky is the artist's model posing in the middle of the room. Everyone paints, whilst Harriet sits between Janie and Sport, doing nothing. She becomes aware of whispers and secret looks being passed around the room. Harriet carefully places a book on the desk and opens it. There is a heading called The Drinking Torture on one page, with a picture of a man being burned at the stake on the other. Slowly, Harriet turns the pages, each picture more gruesome than the last, the whispering campaign gathering speed as it passes from person to person. She glances up from time to time and gazes down at a picture of a man with his feet tied together being hoisted up by a rope, suspended in midair, dangling, a bed of nails directly below him. Rachel gets up carrying a tub of bright blue paint and taps Beth Ellen on the shoulder as she passes. She tips it all over Harriet's shoulder from behind.
Oh, I'm sorry!
Did it on purpose!
It was an accident, I swear! Here, let me help you!
Harriet picks up her blue paint pot. Janie grabs some paper towels.
Get away! Get away!
They all rub the paint into her clothes.
Harriet, we'll all help you.
No, stop it! I don't need your help! Be able to get away! No!
Marion pours her pot all over Harriet's head. Harriet struggles free and smacks her across the face.
Harriet, wait!
Leaving a handprint across her cheek.
Well, that wasn't very dignified.
Dripping with paint, Harriet runs all the way home, and in the bathroom, pulling off her sneakers and socks but leaving everything else on, she climbs onto the edge of the filled bath and looks down into the water. She sees her paint-covered reflection and has a flashback of Janie in helmet and skates angrily making faces at her. Eyes closed, she jumps full length into the water. She lies there, arms and legs splayed out like a frog, the blue paint dissolving into the bathwater, the flashbacks of what everyone has done to her filling her head. She surfaces from the water and grabs her tattooed foot. Furiously, she tries to rub it off. In her bedroom, dressed in clean clothes, she grits her teeth and angrily rips out all the pages from her collection of notebooks. In class, Pinky reads from Hamlet.
To be or not to be, that is the question.
Wait, is that a question?
Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of terribles, and by optioning end them to die.
I want to die.
To sleep no more, and by a sleep to say we end the hardship and the thousand nights of shock.
Using a compass. Harriet carves a list of names on her desk.
To die. To sleep. No more.
There are many signs that Tom is changing from a boy to a man. Tom is getting a deeper voice, and sometimes it gives him a little trouble.
Don't be insulting my friends.
This is an actual photograph of vocal cords taken through a special instrument. The cords vibrate when the person breathes out. The larynx is here.
With a pair of scissors, Harriet snips off Laura's plait from behind her, looking innocent when Laura turns. Harriet crosses off the name on her list. Beth Ellen finds her teen pin-ups defaced when she opens her locker door. Turning around, Harriet is standing there innocently. Beth Ellen is crossed off the list. crowd gathers around the flagpole outside the school entrance. A bra is hoisted from its mast. Inside, Carrie frantically searches her bag. Her name is crossed off. Harriet whacks up the flame under Janie's Bunsen burner. And casually removes one of the foundations of Pinky's yogurt stick tower. Both their names are crossed off. In the lavatories, the girls are throwing Play-Doh at the ceiling, seeing if it will stick. Harriet marches in and confronts Marion.
Hello, Marion. Get away from me, Harriet.
Or what?
You gonna tell your father? I heard my parents talking.
She washes her hands.
You don't have a father. All those stories about horseback riding are garbage. You made them all up. Your father lives in Amsterdam. He hasn't seen you in 3 years. And you want to know why, Marion?
And dries them.
Because he doesn't love you.
Having delivered the fatal blow, Harriet walks out. Marion bows her head and looks at the floor. At the photocopier, Harriet waits for the copy of the Polaroid she took of Sport posing in his pinny in feather duster. She writes Man of the House on it and sticks multiple copies along the whole length of the corridor's tiled walls. Sport appears as she's sticking them up. She wavers when she sees him. Harriet looks at him defiantly as he stares at her and finishes sticking up the copy in her hand. Sport turns and walks away. Harriet bows her head, looking as if she's lost the enthusiasm for the job. Face down on her bed at home, she sobs into the mattress.
From every parent at school.
They are all either furious or terrified. Marion Hawthorne can't stop crying. Laura Peters has locked herself in the bathroom and won't come out. The only parents we haven't heard from are Pinky Whiteheads. I'm not answering that.
I always hated school myself.
No, now see, that's the problem. Something is very wrong here, Ben, and you need to take this seriously.
I am.
No, come on.
I'm just
you know
as
what
serious
you're doing.
As
you're coming in and teasing.
No, I'm
and
not.
It's not fair.
I mean, we
you
don't
have
know.
A really bad situation.
We
here.
Don't know what the
you
situation is at
jokes,
all.
And then
do we
I
know what the situation
is?
We should find out what it is.
Think.
Maybe we should get Harriet to calm down for a second.
Harriet puts her hands over her ears.
No, sweetheart. I can't understand how this is fine.
Harriet, can you explain this?
With gritted teeth, Harriet throws a book at them. Next morning, her parents march her off to see someone. Harriet sits slumped in an extraordinary-looking ergonomic chair, staring blankly at a bespectacled man wearing a corduroy maroon jacket. She twiddles her fingers as the man plays with his gold ballpoint pen sitting behind his desk. He leans forward, hands under his chin.
Well, what do we do now?
We can do anything you like.
What am I supposed to do?
How about a game? Do you play chess?
Gully was gonna teach me, but...
Gully? Who's he?
Just somebody.
When he opens the cupboard, toys spill out.
You sit here and play with this stuff all day?
Don't you have toys at home?
Yeah, but I'm 11.
Cross-legged on the floor, they play a game of boxing electronic robots. Harriet is blue, the man is red.
You stink. What are you doing?
Just taking notes.
Are they the mean, nasty kind, or the regular kind?
Why?
Because... I'm just telling you, it's tough getting away with the nasty kind these days.
Thanks for the advice.
They resume the boxing match.
Nobody ever takes your notebook away from you, I bet.
Tell you what. How about I give you a notebook? Would you like that?
Yeah, sure.
This guy's not bad. Definitely one of those people Gully says deserves a closer look. At least he knows the value of a good notebook.
Harriet. It's time to go.
Can I keep the notebook?
I'll have to talk to your parents about that.
He holds out his hand to take back the notebook. Harriet and her parents leave the building.
Well, what did he say? What did he say?
Well, he says that you're fine and you're a wonderful girl and very smart and you'll be a terrific writer someday.
I could have told you that.
With a confiscated notebook held behind her back, Harriet's mom goes into her bedroom and sits on the bed. She produces the book and holds it out to a surprised Harriet, who eventually takes it.
I didn't read it.
Good.
You know, Harriet, someday, when you grow up, you might have children.
Doubt it.
Well, not tomorrow or soon, but someday. Maybe. And if you do, you're going to try really hard to understand them.
But I keep telling you.
I know, you told me about the notebook. And even though you're telling me, and even though I'm listening, I still don't understand it, Harriet.
Is that why you took it away?
We made a mistake.
Don't do it again, okay?
We try.
Her mom tenderly caresses her forehead.
Mom?
Yeah?
Will you tuck me in?
Sure. There we go.
And kisses her goodnight.
Green.
G-R-E-E-N.
Aren't you going to work on your notebook today?
Yeah. Pick a number.
7.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
All right. Turn around.
That's not a fortune.
Turn around.
Why?
Turn around.
Gully? Gully!
Joyfully, Harriet leaps into her arms, and Golly, still wearing her big red coat, swings her round and round, clasping her tight.
Why, Harriet the Spy, I believe you've grown a full inch.
Nuh-uh.
You certainly have grown.
Oh, Golly!
Harriet clutches her.
So what do I do now, Golly?
Beauty is truth, truth beauty. That is all ye know on earth and all ye need to know. John Keats.
What is that supposed to mean?
Means you've got trouble. You wrote down the truth in your notebook and your friends who weren't supposed to see it did. Now there are only two things for you to do and you're not gonna like either one of them.
Like what?
Well, you have to apologize and you have to lie.
But you said never to lie.
I know. I did. Let me see how I can explain this. Sometimes a little lie that makes people feel better isn't really wrong. You know, like, you can thank someone for a meal they cooked you even if you hated it. You could tell a sick friend that they look better even if they don't. Sometimes a really small lie can be a really big help.
They tried to squash me like a bug. It's too hard. It's not worth it.
Oh, never say that, Harriet. You're worth it. You're an individual, and you know something? That makes people nervous. And it's gonna keep making people nervous your whole life.
My whole life?
Yep.
What do I do?
You stay true to Harriet and you accept the cost. Now, come on. That's enough lessons for today. Okay? You're 11. I think it's time for you to start writing something other than notes.
Like what?
You'll think of something.
Can't you come back for just a little while?
Oh, no. I never go back. Only forward. And you know what else? Good friends are one of life's blessings. Don't give them up without a fight.
Golly leaves Harriet sitting on the bed. In her bedroom, Janie is looking through a magnifying glass at some spores. Harriet climbs in through her bedroom window.
Replicate! Replicate!
Stupid spores.
Hi, Janie! Look what you made me do!
This stuff is gonna eat right through the floor. 3 months of incubation down the porcelain pee hole.
Janie wipes at the floor.
If you roll the rug over it, it won't show so much. Oh, so next time you can ruin the rug?
No.
Then why are you here?
I just want to say that...
What?
Forget it.
Fine. Forget it.
Janie shows Harriet the bedroom door and pushes her out. Harriet leans with her back against it.
Sorry, Janie, okay?
Sorry.
Janie hears. Through Sport's letterbox.
Will you take a look at this? Huh? Huh? Will you think you're a real man now, Sport? 10,000 smackaroos! No more pain with change. No more spaghetti. But you feel like steak. And you know those fancy basketball sneakers with the buckles and the Velcro and the crap all over them? They're yours, buddy boy, all yours!
They smack palms with delight. Sport admires the check in his hand.
Yellow! Murray! Hey, I take it all back. All agents aren't useless. Oh, I'm kidding you, man. You know I was always in your corner.
Sport catches Harriet's eyes and opens the door.
Hey.
Tomorrow you want to get together? Okay.
Hey.
Okay, all right. See you then.
Fold his book.
Bye-bye.
Got a real job.
Hey, Harriet! You hear the good news?
You're a writer.
He bows.
So how's it feel?
Oh, big slice of heaven, side order of fries. Say, you hungry? I feel like going to the fanciest, schmanciest restaurant in town. We'll abuse the waiter. Who's with me, Harriet?
She can't come.
What do you mean she can't come? You haven't even asked her.
I said she can't come. Can't be my friend if you're not my friend.
Sport closes the door in her face. She leans against that one, too.
Sorry, Sport. Sorry.
On the other side, Sport hears. Harriet wanders past the gates of Mrs. W's wonderful garden.
No one will forgive me. Things will never be the same.
Mrs. W is up a ladder working on one of the decorated trees and sees Harriet. She smiles and bows her head. Harriet returns the greeting.
I have nothing left to lose.
Outside the clubhouse, they all eat chocolate cake.
Someone told me the only reason you guys play with me is because of my mom's cake.
Well, it is very good cake.
Marion and Rachel eat the best bits.
Yeah, but how come we get these pieces and you get those?
We told you, we're officers.
And we need our strength. You get to fix the clubhouse.
Somebody's dreaming.
I am so bored.
If you don't like it, you can leave.
Hey, you're right.
Sport puts down his plate and nicks a bit of best cake en route.
Wait up. Anybody sick of listening to her ought to get a life.
Dropping her hubcaps, Janie follows.
But you can't come back! We're voting! It's official!
When the clock strikes exactly 9 a.m, Harriet is already seated at her desk in the empty classroom, which soon begins to fill. She watches out for Sport. Marion flicks her eyes over her when she sits down. Miss Elson is the last person to arrive. Harriet immediately raises her hand.
Yes, Harriet.
Miss Elson, I've been thinking a lot. And do you know how class president automatically gets to be editor of the sixth grade newspaper?
Yes.
Well, I think that it's too much for one person. And that it's not fair to everybody
Because everybody deserves a chance. And we should change it.
Objection!
This isn't a courtroom, Marion. I like that idea, Harriet. Let's see what the class thinks.
Miss Elson, I think I speak for everyone when I say this is a really, really stupid idea.
That is one opinion.
Sport smirks.
But let's take a vote. Marion is now editor of the Guidepost. Would anyone like to nominate another candidate?
Everyone turns around in their seats, looking at everyone else.
Well, I guess if no one has anything to say...
The boy with the purple socks stands up.
I have something to say.
Everyone turns around to look at him.
I think that Harriet's a very good writer. And if we only listen to one person's opinion, we may never get anywhere new. But Harriet might have something very original. And I'd like to read what she has to write.
Marion tenses up.
Is there a second?
Sport raises his hand.
I second it.
Harriet slowly turns to look at him. On the other side of her, Janie's hand goes up.
I third it.
Janie smiles at Harriet.
Okay, then. Harriet Welsh is now a candidate for editor. Who votes for Harriet?
The boy with the purple socks is first with his hand up. Harriet looks about her as more hands are tentatively raised. Sport. Janie. Beth Ellen. Laura. Until nearly every hand in the class is up. Marion turns in her seat, looking at all the raised hands. Even Harriet raises her hand, first one, and then the other.
That is that.
Sitting on the bed, Harriet struggles to pull out an old typewriter from underneath. Lining up a sheet of paper, she begins.
Seen and heard by Harriet M. Welsh. I'm on a mission to be a great writer. A good friend once told me that all great writers try to see everything. Okay, here goes. I knew this guy once. He used to be a bajillionaire. Now he rides bike.
George dismounts.
Wanna know the freaky part?
He throws away an empty cardboard box.
He says the bike's better. Please write in if you think he's lying.
Frankie's girlfriend is mending the truck with Frankie's help. Harriet goes round the back of Hong Fat's.
There's a difference between looking at stuff and really seeing it.
And spies through the basement window.
Give them some bread, huh?
To really see, you've got to get a closer look.
Food is being given to the children. Harriet has pushed her head through the basement window bars to look more closely. Now she's stuck. After much grimacing, contorting of her body and struggling, she pulls free.
I've noticed that sometimes stuff you think is broken forever is actually totally fixable.
Harrison plays with a tiny kitten.
But some stuff is supposed to fall apart. Speaking of which, certain high-ranking officials of a certain secret club had better detorkify themselves in a hurry. Or else everybody's going back to where they were in the first place. This reporter believes that detorkification is a difficult, but not impossible process. Mostly, you've got to want to be cured.
Mrs. Parker stands on her vibrating exercise belt.
But I'm pretty sure it's, two steps forward, one step back kind of deal. In theater news, Miss Elson's sixth grade holiday pageant was a theatrical controversy of the season. Some were happy to see it, and who am I to argue?
Dressed as a gravy boat, Marion's balletic moves are stiff, prompted by the choreographer in the wings, and surrounded by her classmates dressed as different kinds of vegetables. The audience look bored, rigid.
Others say it stunk.
Mr. Porter yawns.
This reporter has no comment. And hey, stupid school board, give Miss Elson a raise, would you?
In the wings, she laughs.
She's not so bad as teachers go. And she puts up with a lot. There's evidence to suggest that Jana Gibbs will grow up to be the world's greatest scientist. So far, she has shown amazing progress in the areas of mold manipulation and chemical combustibles. We have also learned that Sport's father is rolling in dough from his latest book, which just goes to show, if you stick to what you love and work like a dog, you will succeed. For those of you who don't know, a retraction is when a newspaper takes something back. This newspaper would like to retract certain statements in a certain notebook which may have hurt certain people's feelings. They were lies, and those that weren't lies were mean. Like, just because a person's father is far away does not mean he doesn't love you. Anyways, don't think about it.
Reinforcing their tattoos.
The truth is important, but so are your friends.
Harriet plays with Sport and Janie.
And if you can have them both, then it's a good life. Until next issue, I remain your faithful correspondent, Harriet M. Welsh.
Pulling out the typed sheet, Harriet leans back and begins to read. On stage at the school pageant, Marion suddenly stops dancing when the music changes. The audience sit up and look lively. An onion, a tomato wearing a chef's hat and a squash, JD, Sport and Harriet take center stage and strut their stuff, shaking their little tushes and boogieing furiously. Carrot and a frilly lettuce, Laura and Carrie, bring a giant gravy baster downstage from the back. It's used as a limber bar. Janie is first underneath it. In the audience, her mom beams. Sport limbers underneath it next. And Harriet, her parents rock with laughter. Pinky limbers underneath next. In the audience, Sport's dad wakes up with a start. One poor vegetable can't manage it and falls over as he limbers under the bar. Everyone laughs hard. Even Marion loosens up a bit in her gravy boat and jigs with a bit more street cred. All the vegetables finally take their bow. Mrs. Parker, dressed in vibrant pink and purple, claps furiously in the back row. Miss Elson smiles proudly in the wings. Suddenly, the audience notice smoke erupting from an air duct at the side of the stage. It pours into the hall. Janie's done it, and the three of them fall about laughing as the audience make a beeline for the exits, holding their noses and covering their faces. On stage, the three of them keep on dancing. They are the only ones left. Finally, they boogie off into the wings, followed by Miss Elson. The air duct continues to blow a thick line of gungy smoke into a now empty hall. The end.
kitchen window.